Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sullentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We have Wichita State volleyball Chris Lamb with us to wrap up spring practices. The Shockers scrimmaged Kansas on Wednesday night. That wrapped up about 2 months of workouts and scrimmages. They played against opponents such as Kansas State, Colorado State, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Missouri State. I'll refresh your memories about last fall. The Shockers went 19-10. They were 13-7 in the American Athletic Conference. Outside hitter Briley Kelly, setter Casey Litzau, and middle Natalie Foster earned spots on the all-conference teams. Those three are back. Several Shockers who battled injuries in 2021 are healthy. And Chris Lamb has an experienced team ready to go in the fall. Let's start with Wednesday. The Jayhawks were in town. What did you learn from the finale there?
So each spring, I have my list of experiments, things I'd like to, you know, we're trying to grow each athlete each semester, fall, spring. Some of that growth is just getting better at current pieces to their job description. In other cases, I call it the Kim Wadsworth example, former Shocker, where literally every semester – she'd say, okay, what's my job this semester? Because she through her career here, you know, she played so many different roles on our team, position-wise. And I'll always use her as my poster child for that. So nobody this year had, you know, too many things off the beaten path for what they do. But, you know, we were trying some stuff. If you like it, you stick with it. If not, I don't want to waste time, and I want to get to other things. So we ride that wave during the spring. And for us this year, we got to have a definitely better than average spring in terms of we got four play dates. As the last few years, it's a few. I'd say for a while now, it's been hard for us to get four. You know, it's a cost to it. And logistically, you got to be available when other people are available nearby, you know, regional teams. So this year we were able to get four play dates. We got two of those four at home, and we got really good competition. So, you know, then you really know if it's working here, it probably has a chance to, you know, work at the conference level. So yeah, I was really happy with, I'm answering your question generally. I'm real happy with how the spring went from beginning to end. There are several Shockers who I'm sure we'll talk about definitely have sort of moved their way up the ladder during the spring.
Did you go into Wednesday with any specific goals in mind, something you wanted to see, really take a hard look at?
Yeah, unfortunately, Sophia was unable to go. She's feeling under the weather, and everybody's really sensitive about that these days, as you know. So we didn't get to try a few things that we had in store, because if she's not going to be in the wheel or the lineup, as we say, the rotation, that changes other things. So we had to sort of not do some stuff we were excited to try. But we had plenty of things to choose from, plenty of clubs in the golf bag we could, you know, use. And you know, and we did. Morgan Weber had a different job. We wanted to see how competitive we could be with Sophie Childs in what's called the L1 spot or the OH1 spot in the lineup. And you know, that went well. We let Laura be the libero for the night, and you have to say that went really, really well. Those are a few things that I'll just tell you from the evening that I thought were bright spots.
Was there a match or a day from the four play dates that stood out? Something, you know, a performance you were particularly pleased with from a team perspective?
Well, I think it's right off the bat, with only a couple days of practice before we played K-State before spring break. I know it's early. We didn't have much time to practice. They didn't have much time to practice. So both of us were just getting started with spring, and we played in Manhattan. And we won three of the four sets that we played. In the final set, the one that we lost, I used a lineup that really was just to get some playing time for some kids, not so much something that really had a plan to it. So Yeah, that's for the record. I'm not saying, oh, we're better than K-State, but in these little races to 25 on that day, I mean, okay, we're close. You know, we were competitive. And that's really what I'm asking for. I mean, I'm not going to read any more into it than that. But, you know, it was just fun to see when you look across the net, as with Colorado State or as with Oklahoma or KU, who we played last night, K-State for sure. I mean, person for person, yeah, they're more talented. They're more physical. Ball speed is usually in their favor. Certainly saw that last night with Kansas. So, you know, a lot of things have to go right in our sport when the talent's on the other side of the net. So to be able to keep up and or get to 25 first, some things went well.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So one of your goals, you want Wichita State to be the best defensive team in the American Athletic Conference. Talked a lot about that with the Littles. How did that go this spring?
So what I think you're referring to is, you know, I think there's an opportunity in our league. If I was to give you some comparisons between the Missouri Valley, where we came from, to this conference, I could tell you different styles of play and just how one conference mathematically, let's say, is different than the other. You know, and I just feel like there's an opportunity in this league to really be, you know, one of the top teams defensively. To be the best team next year, well, UCF, with all their experience and talent, is going to have something to say about that. And Cincinnati, who last year I thought put enough down on paper to make me say I'd give them the crown. So I don't think it'll come easy, but I think that we could really find ourselves maybe up there in that top three or four, two or three or four, where I think then there's a gap between them and everybody else. And it would be nice to plant ourselves there. You've heard the expression that defense travels well, that kind of thing in football or basketball or whatever. But I tend to agree that once you get your scouting report in place and you play, you know, team defense in a system, now it really comes down to individual players making plays. And so that's where we've really put the most time, is we've just dedicated way more time in our practice routine to individual defense, just each player being a better digger. The blocking stuff will come, but we wanted to know that we could raise, you know, our dig percentage, certainly at different types of attacks, and I feel that's moving along nicely.
Tell us a little bit about the Littles. You'll have an experienced group back there, Lily Lickway leading the way. What went on with that group this spring?
Well, Lily and Laura are actually distancing themselves from Annalie and Kylie right now, and there's some good to be said about that. I mean, I hope for Annalie and Kylie that continued growth, but Lily and Laura walk in the door with the most high level experience, and they need to be impact players on the floor for us, and they need to be in the equation for, you know, top seven or eight, you know, defenders in the league. You know, everybody's got their libero, and then it's the next DS off the bench, because just about everybody's playing with at least two Littles, as we say. So, you know, can you win the little battle when you line up the Littles on the floor for each team using the normal, you know, metrics? You know, where do they stand in serving, in passing, in digging? And I want to believe that these two have worked their way into the upper third of our conference, And if they do that, our team defensive numbers will be up in that group, I believe, and we will be a better team for it. So, it's their time to start to be recognized, let's say that way, amongst the top defenders in the conference, and now they're going to have to go out and prove it.
So the Laura that you referenced, pronounce her last name.
Uyar.
Yeah. She's a sophomore. She is from Turkey. She played in 21 matches last season. So fans got to look at her. They may not be totally familiar with her. Tell us a little bit about her and her first season, the adjustment.
Yeah, so when you're recruiting volleyball players from overseas, the chances that you ever got to see them live is pretty small. Georgia Civita from Italy, one of the best players ever to play volleyball at Wichita State. Everything we have on her came from video. So one of the things that you're attracted to in your evaluation is, for the most part, when you're recruiting liberos in the United States, you're recruiting them playing, 16 and under club volleyball, 17 and under club volleyball, probably done recruiting them by the time they're playing 18 and under club volleyball. Well, when you recruit the foreign kids, where they don't play, necessarily with their age group, the better ones are, filtered upward onto, older teams. So Georgia was in matches where there's pros on the other side of the net. I mean, high-flying, physical attackers, far better than what we would see in our conference. So you have a chance with some of these foreign players, regardless of what your evaluation is of them as an individual player. Many of them, just the level of play, the matches that they're involved in, are beyond 16, 17, and 18-year-old club volleyball here. So there's something to be said for that. Like if I was to say, you've played against high school pitching, somebody else played against college pitching, but somebody else might have played against professional pitching, you might say, well, if you can hit that, pretty good. Well, so Laura and Georgia, we were able to evaluate them versus powerful women that are crushing volleyballs, and you're watching them dig that and receive serve against better serving. So while you're not watching them in person, the level of play they're playing, you can see their statistics, and there's a reason to get excited about it. Now that said, you don't exactly always get what you think you're getting. But the chances are they're still pretty good because they've been tested at a higher level. So Laura and Georgia both were left back defenders on teams that channeled balls towards them. So they were taking everybody's best shot on a regular basis, and they were successful doing so. So that's why you get excited about it in recruiting. But then when they get here, what you find is they don't really play exotic defenses. It's sort of just man-to-man. Everybody just play your spot and make plays. So getting them organized on how we want to play team defense here is really the biggest step in my mind is, all right, when they walk in the door, can we really execute more than one defense? Can we play two or three defenses or even a different defense just because the attack came from a different spot, or what we call an in-system situation or out-of-system situation? So many of those teams don't even bother. It's just talented players making plays. We are going to look for opportunities in our study of game film on how different defenses affect different offenses on the other side of the net. If we think that we can put more pressure on a team or on a player because of the defensive system, well, we're certainly going to explore that. So with the two liberos that we've had now in our program from overseas, that was the greatest adjustment, getting them to understand how we're trying to play as a team. Georgia was used to being the only legitimate defender on a team full of offensive weapons. So she was running around trying to dig everything. It would be like a center fielder knocking a left fielder out of the way just to try to make a play. And we'd be like, well, hey, Hannah Shelton's right here. This is her ball. And Georgia was literally trying to get them all. And so it was really teaching her to be great in our system was the biggest challenge. And Laura is still involved in trying to, you know, really be not the last to figure out what we're actually doing when we're making changes on the fly. But individually, her serve receive is reaching the standard. Her digging is reaching the standard. But serving for her is where she has the most ground to gain to catch up.
Has the amount of video and the quality of video increased over the last 10 years or so to make you more 100%. Confident about what you're getting from an overseas player?
I mean, before we didn't even have access to so much. And now it's wake up in the morning and watch 50 videos of kids sending me stuff and recruiting services sending me stuff. Now, I mean, let's be honest, you and I can go to the golf course today, and if we spent long enough, we could string together a video that shows us making 60-foot putts. And it might look like that we knock them down all day long, but it's literally just highlights of us making the 60-foot putts. And so when you're seeing videotape, they're sending you their highlights. You do look for full games when you can and really start counting all the contacts there. But there is the highlights do show you something. I mean, there's still ball speed you're having to deal with. There's still defensive range you're having to show that you can do. But yeah, 100% better than it was a few years ago. More than that.
Briley Kelly had a strong 2021. What's next for her?
Well, what's next for Briley is a back row role at an elevated level. And she certainly has to be on the list of most improved player in the spring. And I have a list, by the way, of kids I thought really grew this spring. But Briley's back row play is night and day better than where it was. Serving with more confidence, serve receive numbers are coming way up. And then just being more confident and aggressive as an attacker. We played Kansas last night. They certainly were keyed in on her. They weren't going to let it be easy. They did a nice job on her. And I was just noticing how she was responding to the elevated difficulty and challenge, because they certainly weren't going to let her have much, and she was going to have to fight her way out of it. And I'm happy to report that, you know, they didn't break her. She kept swinging through the duration of the night, and that's what you want to see. You want to see that, you know, getting blocked a couple times doesn't make you, you know, throw in the towel. And so I think the American Conference is going to see a hungrier, you know, more aggressive attacker for Briley next year.
Two or three weeks ago, we talked about Natalie Foster. You were going to do a lot of experimenting with her now that the spring is over. What did you learn about Natalie?
So while I think she could do that role, I don't know if it's best for us. I think what we've learned is we probably can have a few wrinkles where she takes side out swings on the left side. I think we could make some blocking changes in a match, which might leave her out there. But go back to Abby Lehman. There's a lot of things Abby could have done for us, but there's other people that need to be in certain spots. So Natalie, like Abby Lehman, probably needs to go do a different job, because someone's got to do that job too. And that job right now appears to be the job that earned her all conference honors last year, what we call the M2 spot, the middle that typically stays in front of the setter. I think the conference will see a better version of Natalie next year, as I just said about Briley.
You mentioned your most improved list. Hit us with a name or two that jump out at you.
Well, as the spring got longer, Sophie Childs, who had a great weekend out in Goodland, Kansas versus Colorado State last week, also did a really nice job last night. If Sophie Childs is on the floor for us, we are a more physical team. You've got another blocking presence at left and or right front. Never a bad thing to have, you know, that kind of a resistance out there on the pins, as we say. But she's just more powerful more often, and she's attacking with more range. And little by little by little, her back row defense is getting there. And while I would say the same about Briley, I would say that relative to Briley, I think Sophie is a year ahead of where Briley was just a year into the program, or more. She's farther along at the same age, and that's a good sign because Briley's getting there, and I think Sophie's getting there sooner, if I could throw that out there. And that's a nice thing to be able to say. Laura, we just talked about Laura from Turkey. I think that she's, we had a hard time communicating with her. A language barrier was an issue in the fall. So she's certainly a better server than she was, 100% or more. Serve-receive numbers. It's not so much what we call the perfect pass percentage. She's minimizing her errors. The errors have come way down, which is a big deal. And then being able to play more than just the left back position, which is where she pitched her tent her whole career. We're looking at moving her around a little bit because Lily may be the right person to play in the left back spot a lot of times. So Laura has found that. Natalie Foster, strength-wise, I think Natalie is just a stronger athlete. I think she's gained a lot in the weight room this spring, and I think it's noticeable. I think her conditioning to last through rallies is better than it was, and I think she's laterally faster than she was and quicker off the floor than she was. And because we mentioned earlier in this interview that, we've experimented with her on the left side a little bit, that's only gotten better. So that little piece right there is in our back pocket should we choose to go that way for certain matchups in the fall. That certainly has to be indicated. Sophia Rowling didn't get to play last night. Was under the weather. But a couple weeks ago, I thought she was fantastic in our home tournament here. Played all day. And the reason I'm saying most improved or on the improvement list is Sophie didn't have a good fall campaign last year. Coming off an all-conference performance the year before, a lot was on her shoulders, high expectation, and I don't think she was satisfied with her season. And it was just nice to see her sort of let a lot of that go and find the fun again and just play. I sort of gave her the analogy of Andrew Wiggins on my Golden State Warriors, where so much was on his shoulders as a first pick in the NBA draft going to the Timberwolves, and they were asking him to be a 30-point, scorer and a bunch of rebounds and a bunch of assists. And whether or not he's that player or not, seeing him on the Warriors where he's, some nights our number four option, maybe three a lot of nights with having had Klay Thompson out, but probably drifting here a little bit. But my point is, he was elected to be a starter in the All-Star game this year in a diminished role on his own team. So I think it took a lot off his shoulders. He just got to go be Andrew Wiggins, do what Steve Kerr had in mind for him. And I don't think he wore so much responsibility and just played basketball. And that was my advice to Sophie Rowling. I didn't expect her to even know who Andrew Wiggins was, but I was describing this exact thing to her. And I said, why don't you let a few other girls, carry the limelight for a while? Let Briley and your best friend Natalie, and others, let's have them shoulder more of that responsibility. And why don't you just go play volleyball for a while? And I think she's finding that to work well for her. And she got off to a really good spring. And then, like I said, not feeling well, we didn't get to finish with her on the floor. But definitely comeback player of the year material from fall to this spring. And we need that because she's a physical presence. She can be a first-team all-conference player again. And, of course, we're hoping we can get her there.
You talked about wanting to see this team project more, I'll use the word swagger or confidence, acting like they belong at the top of the American Athletic Conference. How did that process go throughout the spring?
Yeah, I always feel like this is a weird way to say it because I run in coaching circles, and this is what coaches always say. So when I say this out loud, people like people. A lot of, I wonder if people, you know, take it in a different context. But you know, the soccer volleyball right now is made up of a bunch of really nice young ladies, and what might come from that might be an agreeable personality, maybe a little more docile. And sometimes you're just hoping to find a little more of an aggressor, someone that's a little more selfish. I want this, and I'm going to go get it. A little more killer instinct. And it's hard because when you start asking for that, you're sort of attacking their nature. You're sort of attacking their personality. But again, if you had my job, if you coach for a living, and if the circles you speak in all week long are other coaches that say the same thing, it's almost like, well, you might not get it unless you were there. And if you were there, you say, yeah, that's what they mean. I mean, I really want the girls, as we spoke last night after our scrimmage with the Jayhawks, you know, okay, so you guys ready to raise expectations? They all nod their head yes. All right, well, what do you think comes with that? And just don't think for a second it's going to be easy. Don't think for a second that it's always going to be happy and light. I mean, there's 11 other teams out there that are 10 other teams in our league that want to have something to say about it. And who's going to really roll over for you? So you're going to have to start, you know, learning how to go get something, take something. You know, I made the analogy. It's one thing to survive by, you know, sneaking up on a berry and picking it off a branch. It's a far different thing to try to track down a gazelle, you know, and get that. So I hope that made sense. But that's what we're talking about here. The low hanging fruit. Yeah, okay. Well, now show me you can go get the gazelle. In sort of a corny analogy, and it's not going to be as easy. There's a couple teams out there that are as talented or more than we are. That we know. So what are we going to do about it? Well, we're going to have to gain at some areas of volleyball. We're going to have to play hard. And when it gets tight, like last night, right off the bat, game one with KU, I could tell that the nerves were – it was tense. You know, they were feeling it. You could see the look in their eye, the way they were talking. Like, okay, well, that's part of it. Now when that becomes comfortable, well, then we've gotten somewhere. So – it felt a little discomfort. It's the difference between stress and pressure. And this is a coaching thing, but, you know, pressure you can handle because, you know, you sort of sell it like, well, that's what you're prepared for. But when things come up that you're not prepared for, well, here comes stress. And that's just a different deal. So if you're prepared, if you know it's coming, yeah, there's always going to be pressure. But you tend to sell it that way. You tend to think of it that way. And then, okay, yeah, it's not going to be easy. But at least we're not, you know, creating our own obstacles on our side of the net because, you know, people start to freak out. And that's just part of the growing pains, which, by the way, are the best pains to me. Pain's going to be there. I hope it's growing pains that we're talking about.
So if you could infuse this team with the attitude or the spirit of a former Shocker who got all that, who jumps to mind?
If I'm going chronological order backwards, Georgia Chivita, a pro. I mean, she's a pro, professional. She gets it. She ain't backing down to anybody, including her own teammates who might not want to meet her halfway. And for some, it's hard to deal with. But I claim she's right. Jody, well, I might be jumping ahead here. You had Emily Hebert learn that, I think, from Georgia. Georgia was younger, but Emily and Hebert became friends, and Emily's teeth got sharper and her claws got sharper her junior and senior year. And I think that Georgia had a lot to do with it. It was a little different than Georgia. It wasn't as noticeable, but she started fighting more than she did prior. And then Jody Larson has always been, let's go get the gazelle, the carnivore. So Jody Larson, a couple years ago, I think she graduated maybe in 16. You know, but over the years, we've definitely had Sarah Lundgren going back, Darcy Voss going way back. I mean, they are whatever it takes. Emily Stockman, good to see. Kelly Broussard, just almost angry at the people on the other side of the net. They're not getting anything from me kind of attitude. And, you know, it's while not always easy to deal with from, you know, maybe even a majority of your teammates, that's an influence, I'm telling you, that coaches hope gets to most of your players. And it's not always easy. But, yeah, we're gonna need some of that, I hate the cliche stuff, but that killer instinct, the you know, the sort of the athletic selfishness. You think selfish is a bad thing right up until you understand, no, it's kind of a good thing because they want something for themselves. And that thing they want is victory. The thing they want is scoreboard. The thing they want is results at all costs. And, you know, that's the business we found ourselves in. So sometimes it's a conflict in personality, but hopefully we are a little visually hungrier this year than last.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.